Hello, Des.
Hello, Murray. How are you, mate?
I'm going well indeed.
It's dirty and cold out there.
The wind is cutting through you. It says it's 11 degrees. I'm going to go with my Mike Larkin best here. Feels more like 7.
Feels like. I'm always amused by the feels like.
Well, I don't know how they work that out.
Yeah, because you do it with age as well. Like I turned 50 last week, but feels like about 72.
But on some days, you feel like 38. Yeah. It's weird how that works, isn't it?
Yeah. Don't ever say that to a female like that.
No.
Will not work.
No chance. Again, I will say this to every week. Looking forward to today's guest.
I know. And I did mention to you, if people want to know the criteria for JYB, it's me sitting up at home with the mobile phone and blokes who answer and say, yes, we get in. There is no agenda. There is no, I work my way through all teams.
You know what you're doing. You're setting yourself up to cover another bloke from this team.
But he came over, he played in back-to-back flags, and he was just mentioned outside. He was captain of an interstate team earning $700 a week. He asked for more money. They said no. He said, I'm off. And thank God he did, because I was a big fan.
It's 9:01.
Wing position on the member's stand side. Oh, Mazzalenko! You're guilty!
Oh, I love this bloke.
Well, Murray,
I loved him as a player.
He came over from Woodville. He ran upright on the wing that day. And he was one of those blokes who, when he got rid of it, if anyone wanted to keep going and accommodate him, he did not. He had red hair.
And the fiery Mo.
Ladies and gentlemen, 122 games, 89 at Carlton, a few over at the Bullies. His name, of course, Phil Mailer.
Oh, great to have you here, Phil.
Thank you for having me.
Known as the Shark, but I think I always just called you Fabulous. I think we always went with Fabulous, I think.
Where did Shark come from?
Oh, it's not. It's actually a pretty boring story.
All right, moving on.
Let's get the boring ones out of the way then. Why
be the judge of that, Phil?
Well, Dick Merton, who was head of the Carltonians, when I first got to the club, he thought my last name was Marlon. He just went, let's call him Shark. So it's not for any devious moves.
No. But I thought it might have been some sort of play on words. I didn't realise it was just some old bloke who couldn't hear properly.
So how did you get to Carlton? I mean, the influx of players out of Perth and Adelaide from Carlton through the sort of late 70s and through the 80s is legendary, and you were one of those out of South Australia. How did Carlton's interest materialise with you?
Well, as Des mentioned earlier, I was captain of my club. I was 23 years of age. I played 110 games at Woodville. And I was on $700 a year at that point. Young family, mortgage.
$700 a year?
Yeah, $700.
Oh, so a year?
Was that in a lump sum? Or were they giving you
Not a week, a year.
Yeah, a year.
What did they give you, the change from the behind the couch at the social club or something? were they paying you in that?
No, that was sort of, was meant to be top dollar. But, it was at that point in my life where, as I said, I was... I had a young family mortgage, and I just asked the president if we could maybe
up it
a little bit, because there was, ex-Victorians coming over to play for us, and I'd given them what I thought was reasonable dough, or suspect it was reasonable dough.
Well, how much more than you?
Well, I think they were on like $5,000-$7,000 a year. So yeah. I just asked for a small increase, and that wasn't forthcoming. He said we had none left in the tank. So I had a mate
in the shark tank.
Nothing in the tank for the shark. Yeah.
So I had a mate who was worked for the Advertiser, and I didn't realise, but he was a scout for Carlton. So anyway, time elapsed, and Shane O'Sullivan, who was a recruit man at that point in time, said, come over and have a practice match. So this didn't sort of respire till about February the following year. So the 1980. So I came over and had a practice match, and they took me into the committee room where Wes Loves was sitting, and Ian Collins, and Percy Jones, and Shane O'Sullivan, and they said, "Look, you did all right today, and we'd like you to come over and play for us." And I said, "Yeah, no worries." And they said, "Look, we'd like to give you $16,000." I nearly fell off my chair.
Did you kiss each of them?
And I sort of looked a bit stunned for a minute. I was sort of adding it up in my head. Well, I'm on $700.
Doing
I'm
the sums, trying to figure out what you could afford. You buy a suburb in Adelaide.
So I signed up there on the spot without sort of telling my family or anything, and flew back to Adelaide and told them we're coming over.
What was the reaction at the club? Because I am fascinated a bit. We were talking outside. Younger people forget that in those days, the pinnacle for you was captaining Woodville and being in it. You weren't yearning to come over here. You weren't yearning to come to Victoria because for you guys, local footy fans, everything was based around Adelaide, like as it was around Melbourne or around Perth.
Yeah.
But what was their reaction when you went back and said, they're going to pay me a little bit more than the $700 you guys are giving me?
They were astonished and they were obviously pretty happy for me. But sort of in between that time in February, St Kilda had heard that I was on the go. So they also asked me to come over and play a practice match with them. And when I arrived at the airport and jumped in the car, Alan Killigrew was driving. He was one Robbie Muir was in the back seat.
What, to convince you or make you sign?
He was actually coming to have a practice match with him also. And
how did that go?
Well, I looked at him and he's a pretty scary looking bloke just to begin with. And I'd sort of heard of him and seen him on TV, you know, belting blokes. Anyway, I was just a little 23-year-old redhead kid sitting next to him. And Alan Killigrew didn't stop talking the whole way from Tullamarine to Moorabbin. But Robbie just said one thing to me. You know, he just said, "Hey, brother, don't come near me on the ground."
No worries.
No worries, Robbie.
Even though he's going to be on your turn.
Good advice. Yeah,
So the Saints said, we can take the redhead mad guy or we can take the really mad guy. So hadn't you signed with Carlton at that time?
No,
that
I hadn't signed. This was before.
How'd that game go? What did Robbie do?
I didn't play too well.
Jeez, he's a bit of a sheepdog, that male.
No, I didn't go that well. And I never heard back from St Kilda either.
So you wouldn't have gone well in the practice game. I mean, maybe you did personally, but I think that year of 80, Carlton, they didn't win a practice game for about 15 years, I don't reckon.
No, they didn't. And I didn't play in another practice match with them.
Right.
So I was still living at Adelaide on the Thursday night of the first game.
Mm.
So even though I was signed up to play with them, I was still in Adelaide on the Thursday night. And I was coming over to play twos football in the seconds.
Yeah.
And on the Thursday night, I got a call from Wes Lofts saying,
You're in.
You're in the seniors. Barry Armstrong had pulled out with an injury and he said, "You're in."
So you're in Adelaide when you get this phone call. You're playing Collingwood.
Playing Collingwood
at Vic Park.
What could go wrong?
Well, obviously I crapped myself. But flew over. Wes picked me up in his Porsche.
What, on the Friday or the Thursday night you come over?
On the Friday night.
Friday night, yep.
Friday night, and Wes picked me up in his Porsche and, you know, I don't think I've been in a car that went that fast before in my life.
Is your head spinning at this?
Yeah,
stand, it is.
Yeah, because I owned a Kingswood. Right. And I'm in this Porsche doing about 180 down Tullamarine. And we stayed at Wes's place that night, and he lived in this, I don't know, it was an apartment in Toorak, but it was on the fourth floor up the top, and the doors opened up into his living room. And because I lived in Albert Park, which is not the Albert Park that you think of in Melbourne. You know, it's pretty rough neighbourhood, and I just thought, I'm in a different world here. This is unbelievable.
So just very quickly, what was the family upbringing then? Was it working class there over there?
What's my dad worked for GMH for 40 years.
At Elizabeth out there.
Well, it was in Woodville at that point in time. Yeah, and my mum was a school teacher.
Right.
Yeah.
And were they still alive?
They were alive.
They knew you were coming over.
Yeah. They wanted me to stay. Well, you're going over to play dirty Vic footy.
You said, "I'll see a penthouse and I'll get in a ride in a Porsche, Mum." So
before we get on to your first game and get too far away from Woodville and not be able to get back, did your time at Woodville correspond with Blighty's time at Wood, when he was there? Was Blighty there at any stage?
No, I took – he wore 13.
Yeah.
He left the year I started seniors.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, so he left in the end of 73.
Yep.
And I started in 74.
Okay, righto. So you get to the Friday night, you Lofsy away. So what did Lofsy make you breakfast the next day? Did he?
No, his wife did.
Righto. What did you give him?
She was
had?
A stunner too. Right. Right. Absolute stunner.
I think we're all sitting here right now thinking, I wish I had Wes Lofsy's life all of a sudden. Sounds like he's living a pretty handy life.
No, we didn't have breakfast there. No. We jumped in his car about up past 9 in the morning.
Mm.
And he had to go get a shave and everything first. So I just sat, in one of the barber's chairs waiting for him.
God, this is ridiculous.
Doing his stuff.
Do you feel like the work experience kid just getting ready to...
Yeah, it was a bit odd, really, but that's the way Wes rolled, you know.
So did you have had they presented you with your jumper at this stage?
No, I hadn't met any of the players.
So this is Saturday morning. Wes is having a shave at 10 o'clock in the morning. You're playing Collingwood at Vic Park, bouncing the footy at 10 past two. You don't even know what's the hostility that's going to come your way.
Like, did you rock up in the Porsche at Vic Park?
There's no way Wes parking
there.
Yeah,
no, he had a specific spot for it. There was like a designated area where he could park the car.
Who was he more worried about, you or the Porsche?
I think he was worried about the Porsche, to be honest.
So you rock up at Vic Park at, what, about 10:30 or 11 o'clock? What time did you get there?
Yeah, we probably got there about 12.
Yeah.
It was a lockout.
Oh, of course it would have been. First game of the year.
Yeah, no one could get in. It was unbelievable. They were just, you know.
Well, you played the grand final the year before, so, yeah.
And all the Collingwood people were swearing at Wes. I was just dagging on behind him like, with a footy bag in my hand. And
we're talking to Phil Malin. So you go into the rooms. You haven't met any of these blokes. This is a truly phenomenal experience. You go, how did you get introduced? What happened then?
Shane O'Sullivan introduced me to players. You know, this is Bruce Doyle. This is Mike Fitzpatrick. And of course, you know, they're, g'day, how you going? But they weren't over the top on me because they were building themselves, getting themselves ready for a game. So yeah. I sort of just got changed. And, you know, they started handballing the ball around and, you know, the noise level rises up a bit and it's, you know, you can hear the crowd starting to go. And, of course, I'm getting more nervous and more nervous. And, you know, it's 5 minutes before running out and I didn't know what spot I was playing in.
Did you know
so
them even though?
Coach.
Did you know though? Given they were household names here, did you know them though? Did you know the players? Or
I knew of them, but as I said, I didn't follow VFL all that closely.
Yeah, you don't get to see them.
I knew that, you know, I knew they'd won the premiership, and you know it was going to be hard to crack a game with them. But you know, I got
not that hard.
Oh, I got advice saying, well, you know, if you're going to make it in Victoria, you might as well play with the best side. Which they were at that point in time. So,
but did you know about the legends? Did you know about, you know, you must have known about Dooley.
Yeah, I knew, you know, how great a players they were,
yeah.
You know, looking from afar. But, you know, I didn't appreciate that until obviously being inside the club for the length of time I was.
So 5 minutes before you run out, when did Purse, who was coach of the, and we'll talk about 80 a bit more on the way through, but so he's coaching that year. When did he first say, by the way, Phil, this is what I want you to do today. When did you get, can you remember when you got your first instructions from him?
Well, it was about 5 minutes into the first quarter.
So you started on the bench, did you?
No, I started on the ground, but Shane O'Sullivan, I called Shane over because, you know, I was very nervous.
I bet.
I really hadn't met Purse, you know. And I said to Shane, mate, I don't know what spot I'm playing in. I'm running out on the ground. He said, what? So I saw him go over to Purse and, you know, I saw Purse throwing his arms around and Shane came back and said, you're on the wing.
Right. And the number 13, you obviously wore that in your days at Woodville, so you had no issues with the jinxed number?
No, very happy.
You were happy to have it?
Yeah, very happy.
So did they know that you had the number 13 over there or did you it just happen to be
no,
available
they asked,
to you?
They asked me what number would I like if I could get it and I said, well, I'd like 13.
Yep.
Yeah, and it fell in.
So we've heard these stories. Des and I have never done it, but we've heard these stories about what it's like to run out as a non-Collingwood player at Victoria Park. What's it like to run out as a non-Collingwood player at Victoria Park?
It's an amazing thing. You know, like I think probably AFL footy lacks that, you know, that real home ground advantage. Yeah. Now, I understand why you can't play at these grounds anymore, but, it was just an amazing feeling, even though, you know, like, you know, they were spitting and, you know, swearing at you and all that. It was still one of the best feelings I've ever had in my life, to be honest.
So when your ball goes out of bounds and you'll track the ball over to them and it's in the gutter and you have to use the fence to pull yourself up, do you get, is it the abuse? Like, can you remember the noises that have come back at you?
A lot of people say I lie when I say this, but one old lady actually spat on me. I had to get the ball off the... It was in one of the you know...
Yeah, the concrete gutter,
Concrete gutter, and she just leant over and let one go on me.
I think
she had the flu, too.
You thought, I know I'm getting 16 grand now. This is... who was the first bloke to test you? Who was the first one to lay one on you or sort of shape up?
Woosha Welsh was pretty good from Richmond. Yeah. He was... he was in your face a bit, and I loved playing against Woosha, but my first possession was... in that game. It was about the 5 minutes in the first quarter. Curly Austin got the ball. I ran down from the wing half back. He hit me on the chest with a beauty, and I went to play on, and Peter Moore was there. He just grabbed me, holding the ball, goal to Collingwood. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a long day here.
So that tempo, did that take you a little while to adjust to, or did, by the end of that first game?
About five minutes.
Yeah, you reckon? No, seriously. Like, I mean, you're obviously a high quality player.
Thank you.
But
you had 19 touches for the day,
and you kicked a goal. They win by 8 or 7 or 8 goals. Jono kicked 7.
7, yeah.
Off the back of this horrible preseason form, where people going, "Oh, Carlton are gone. Last year was a flash in the pan. They won't be defending." But did you? Could you? Was there a time when you thought, okay, I'm in the flow here, I've picked this up? Can you remember a time when, you know, you made in your own mind the adjustment to VFL footy?
Not really. I felt comfortable, and I think the thing about it was that I was in a pretty good side.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I reckon if I'd have, gone and played at Fitzroy or St Kilda, I'm not degrading those sides, but at that point in time, I think I would have found it pretty hard.
You became a part of a pretty good machine, didn't you?
Yeah. No, I was just a small cog in what was, a magnificent, what I regard as, the best team Carlton's ever had.
Oh, no doubt. Oh, 3 in 4 years. I mean, yeah. And it should have,
We should have won 4.
Who knows? I mean, 80 was there to be won, and things happened. Well, let's talk about that on the other side of the break. And 81 and 82 and the move to the Bulldogs, and your commitment to footy thereafter continued at VFA level and suburban level. Phil Malins, our really special guest in JYB for Vic Metro Super Rules Footy Fund, Des Dowling, alongside me. It's 24 past one.
Ladbrokes is SEN's official afternoon bookmaker partner. Ladbrokes, bet better.
Matt Granlund filling in for Frank and Ox. Dermot Burton joined me, and we spoke to Matthew Dellavedova, who described that moment when he realised his dream of winning an NBA championship.
It was definitely my goal growing up out in Maryborough to represent Australia at the Olympics and play in the NBA. And after that, I didn't really have a picture of what it would look like once I got there, but those were definitely my two goals.
Join me tomorrow with Rowan Conley.
Breakfast for the Honda End of Financial Year Sale on Now. No, You're Not Dreaming. And Melbourne Airport Parking. It's where you park. melbourneairport.com.au. Weekdays 6 to 9 on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.
You need a lift to Melbourne Airport, honey?
Oh, no thanks, Dad. I'll drive myself.
Sure you can afford that, sweetie?
Dad, 3 days parking starts from $59 when you book online.
Where? The freeway?
No, closest to Tiger Air check-in in the new At Terminal 4 car park.
Oh, that's where you park.
Yep, it's where you park.
Righto, well, how did you book?
melbourneairport.com.au. Bye, Dad.
It's where you park.
It's subject to availability. Terms and conditions apply.
Toyota Australia and Kangan Institute Automotive Centre of Excellence have partnered together to provide job opportunities to successful pre-apprentices. So if you want a career with a major automotive brand like Toyota, a pre-apprenticeship at Kangan Institute Automotive Centre of Excellence is the place for you. A pre-apprenticeship with Kangan helps you leap into the industry. Call 13TAFE or go to aceauto.com.au.
Some or all of this training is delivered with Victorian and Commonwealth Government funding. RTO number 0306.
The 2016 Empire Stallions Vic Red Super Series is on this Friday and Saturday night at Tabcorp Park, Melton. 12 big Group 1 races across 2 big nights. See Victoria's best trotters on Friday night and the best pacers on Saturday night hit the track to try to take home Group 1 glory. This is the trots at its finest. Enjoy the racing on course or catch the action on Sky Racing 1 or at your local tab. For details, visit trot.com.au.
Hard Yakka Workwear Centre's End of Financial Year Big Brand Sale is on now. Get 2 pairs of Hard Yakka Legends work pants for only $99. 15% off Redback, Blunston, Steel Blue and Oliver boots. And 20% off Hard Yakka, Wolverine, Bates and King G boots. Offers are available in store only while stocks last. Hard Yakka Workwear Centre's Big Brand Sale is on now. Find your local store at Hallam, Moorabbin, Ringwood East and Thomastown.
Essendon Renault has a limited number of demo 2016 Renault Master Midwheel Base Automatic Vans, $49.90 drive away. Limited stock with a massive saving. Essendon Renault 600 Mount Alexander Road, LMCT 10092 Rego 1HG 2EH.
It's Sportsbet's Euro 2016 Les Special. For the rest of the Euros, place a win, draw, win bet, and if your team lead at any time but get knocked out, cash back up to $50. Get into the Euros with Sportsbet. Conditions apply. Responsibly.
Your brand new Bunnings warehouse in Chadstone and Ringwood are now open. You'll find a great range for all kinds of DIY and home improvement projects. Come and check them out on Warrigal Road and at Ringwood Square.
Your opinion drives the conversation on the SEN Open Line.
If it's a free kick, it's got to be a free kick.
Call 9429 1116 or SMS 0433 98 1116. Thanks to Honda. No, you're not dreaming. The Honda End of Financial Year sale is on now.
On 11:16 SEN, afternoons with Andy Marr for the Volvo XC90, Australia's best SUV in its category and sights and stores. Doing SEO and social from $25 per week.
It's already 29 past one. Des Dowling, Phil Malin, our special guest in JYB for Vic Metro, Super Rules Footy for Fun. There's a lot to talk to him about. Can I just wrap up 980 before you get on to your next thing that you want to do?
Yes, let's do that.
We'll get to 81 and 82 and the rest of you, but what do you reckon happened in 80? Your first year, so you're probably just there to play footy and you're not getting too caught up in all the politics, but it was a heavy-duty political year at the Carlton Footy Club in 80. What's your memories of what happened?
Well, it was, you know, looking back and, you know, I didn't have a lot of, you know, expert coaches through my career in South Australia, but looking at Percy, looked like he was busting his butt, you know, to do the right thing by the club, and he'd been thrust into the position. Mm. I don't think that he was ready to coach, to be honest. And I'm pretty sure there were blokes behind the scenes that were coaching the side.
Yeah, right, okay, yeah.
And Purse was basically the mouthpiece, if that's what you could call it. But, you know, look, I got on well with Purse. But,
lovely,
you know,
man.
You know, we probably... As I said, I don't think he was mentally ready to take on the mantle of coaching the side in that year.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what led us down in finals when it counted. Because I honestly thought we were the best side in 80.
Yeah, because you got touched up, didn't you, in the finals?
Yeah, yeah. Out in straight sets. Yeah.
Yeah. So how big a difference did... And again, this is not to denigrate the work that Peter Jones did for the footy club, but how big a difference did it make when Parker arrived in 81?
Oh, it was a complete transformation, you know. And once again, we're talking about a bloke who was thrust into it for the first year, and David Parkin, who had all this experience, you know, and coaching successful sides, you know, before coming to us. But you know, Parkin was just staggered at when he walked in the doors at Carlton. He was staggered.
By what?
He just couldn't believe, you know, the amount of alcohol and the partying that we used to do. He's just flabbergasted.
Well, we've got to get onto that too. We've got to get onto that also. And just to give an insight into the chat we had at the break, you came over $700 at Woodville. They offered you $16,000. You nearly wet yourself and fell over. How much were they willing to offer you? Did you find out later?
Well, I spoke to Wes, you know, a couple of years later, obviously, but I spoke to Wes and he thought I'd come in and say, you know, 38,000, 39,000. And they would come down to about 30,000. So. But I got them back on my next contract.
Yeah, well done.
You didn't
hear
any high fives as you left the room. And they went, my God, he's an idiot, that bloke. He can play footy, though. And so you've settled into the club. You mentioned Parko was astounded at the social life that was enjoyed at the strongest club going around at the time. What was that? Tell us about, because we've heard from Sellers has been in. He's told us about Alex Marcoux. What are your memories of those? Because you're a family man. So were you with Robert?
That's what you call it.
Were you with Robert? Were you with Robert Klomp drinking mineral waters in the corner? Or what was going on?
I could drink Klompy under the table any day. it was, you know, we train pretty hard, and because I'm an avid SEN listener, and I, you know, listen as much as I can on the radio. And I heard Scotty Lucas the other day. I'm not sure what show he was on SEN, but he mentioned, you know, referring back to the 80s, that we only trained 2 nights a week. We trained 4 nights a week. You know, we busted our boilers back in those days. Parking trained us pretty hard, you know.
And worked? Were you working?
Working full time.
As in finance?
No, this was early 80s. I was actually working for Rothman Cigarette Company.
Yeah, right.
So I had a few little chuffers. still do. So we'd train Monday night, which was a skills night, and then Tuesday night, without fail, we'd have match practice. And I mean full on.
Yeah, right.
Not you know, no tackling or, you know, working out game plans, just full on hour and a half, 2 hours of match practice.
Mouth guards in sort of stuff?
Yeah, fully on. Mixed senior versus reserves, just on.
Yep.
And then we'd train Wednesday night, then we'd train Thursday night, we'd have Friday night off, and then obviously play Saturday, and then train Sunday. So, you know, we're long days, long nights, and we were doing all the right things. And what I admired about the group that I became, you know, adjusted to and had to live up to that standard was they trained exceptionally hard as I've ever trained in my life.
Yeah.
Was training with them. But then, you know, we'd, after training, you know, Parker would say, yeah, get home and all that sort of stuff, because we'd end up at the Fenwick till about midnight. Just having a couple of quiet hours, having a talk about things.
Who became your mates then? Who did you sort of, because you talked about that you knew no one, even when you were playing that first game at Vic Park.
When I first lobbed, obviously my family hadn't, they were still living in Adelaide, so I lived with Mark McClure.
Oh, dear.
Which was...
Oh, dear.
Oh, that's sensible.
Which is a great initiation.
What,
to club
Robbie,
life.
Robbie Muir didn't have any room at his joint?
No, I didn't bother about Robbie. No. I don't think he had a house. But I lived with Mark Sellers down at his house in Brighton. And
tell us any? We've heard some stories about some of the houses that blokes have lived in on the way through.
I can't tell too many stories, to be honest, but I know that he had right away of all the club scene where, you know, King Street used to be lined right back to get in.
Yeah.
Well, after one game, I think it was our second game, you know, Sellers said, come on, we'll go out, I'll take you out on the town. And we went to, I'm not sure, the Underground.
The Underground.
And there was a big lineup of people, and I said, Sellers, this is going to take us hours to get in, mate. He said, no, it won't. Just follow me. And he walked up, and these big, heavy bouncers are at the door. He just gave a nod, and he pointed back to me, the little fella. He said, he's with me. So I just sort of wandered in behind him. Next minute, there was this... Oh, it would have been 15 women just all gathered around Sellers and sort of knocked me back, you know.
In the rush.
So I sort of just, you know, sat there and had a couple of quiet beers.
And thought to yourself, you're not in Woodville anymore, little fella.
Exactly.
No. So who, I mean, you played with, and I use the word rogues in the most respectful and polite way you can use it. You played with some great characters at the Carlton Footy Club and at the Footscray when you went to play at the Footscray for a couple of years. Most notable amongst those, I reckon, would have been Dougie and Steve McPherson. They would have led that little band of rogue characters at the Western Bulldogs. You played with some of the great characters and personalities of those two clubs, potentially in the history of those footy clubs.
Yeah, and not that we can be like that in today's football, and I understand that, but back then, I think the larrikins of the game, we had our fair share at Carlton.
Yeah.
You know, we had more larrikins than non-larrikins there.
Yep.
You know, we had, three-quarters of the side were larrikins.
Yep.
But what I think, what that personality in playing football, I think, is that they take risks. They have a strong mindset.
Self-belief, obviously. Yeah.
All of those things come with, I think, a larrikin in sport. Now, you can go over the top, you know, I'm not talking between larrikin and criminal, but, you know, even though a couple of them didn't get criminal in the end, but they took that step one too far.
I love the caveats on the end of half of your sentences, Phil. They're great.
But I think that's what made us a pretty good side.
So on that, I mean, you've been around footy, you know, you went on to become an assistant coach and the chairman of selectors of the Bullies, and you've stayed involved in suburban footy, you know, for a lot of your life outside of play. Have we gone too far? Do you reckon KB, in the last couple of days, has been talking about there shouldn't be a buy. There shouldn't be a buy in footy. It should be, you know, attrition and the ability to test yourself through a season. You train 4 nights a week, as you told us, and you all had to carry jobs and had your family lives and your social lives on top of it. It wasn't easy being a professional footballer back in the 80s, by the sounds of it. Do you reckon we've gone too far in, you know, sanitising the game?
Yeah, sure. I do. I don't think we need a break. I think if, you know, players are, you know, sore or whatever, surely it's up to the club to manage that. You know, and don't train them, give them a light week or give them a rest if they have to. But, you know, I hated this weekend, to be honest, because there wasn't enough footy on. You know, and I like the it should be up to the clubs to manage their players, not the AFL.
So what about if a young bloke, like Teddy Richards is listening to this, who was pretty outspoken the other night about this, what if he says, Phil, you don't know what you're talking about. You're a dinosaur, mate. You know, you don't know what it's like to be a player.
Not to put words in Ted's mouth.
But you know what? You know, there would
he's
be,
half right.
There, no, but there would be some young blokes out there listening. And I'm with you, by the way. But not that we've never played at the elite level. But I'm with you, and I'm with KB on this. But the young players of today, they don't see it that way. What do you say to them?
Look, it's just the era we were brought up in. You know, like the 82 grand final, on grand final day, there were more blokes in the medical room than there were waiting to be spoken to by Parkin. You know, needles getting jabbed into groins. And you know, I'm not trying to, you know, build up myself, but I played 82 with a groin that would probably now be called the osteitis pubis.
Yeah, right.
And you'd have 3 months off with it. But that just how it wasn't like that. You know, like if someone missed training or you squibbed it on something, the rest of the players would just be down on you.
Yeah.
You know, like you had a standard to set, and if you didn't make that standard, you weren't in the group. But now I think the way that footy's going and, you know, medical science and, you know, rehabs and all those sort of things, I think now, and it starts in under 18 football.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's just the way the players are conditioned now. It's not their fault. It's just what they've been brought up with.
Yeah, but Phil, I reckon if you weren't allowed to go to the Fenwick 3 nights a week with Sellers, you would have been begging for a week off mid-year to let your red hair down, surely.
But that's what, you know.
We got plenty of time to do that.
Oh, we could talk about this for a long time, or we're going to run out of time. We want to spend more time talking about your time in footy. It's 22-2. Des Dowling in with me, Andy Marr, Phil Malan, our special guest in JYB for Vic Metro Super Rules. Footy for fun. More after this.
Crunch Time is Anthony Hudson, Mark Robinson, Dermot Brereton and David King.
Maybe we just get too greedy or wanting to see too much every time they go out, but you really only get, what is it, 40-odd hours of football viewing a year. Of the 40 we're going to get from Collingwood this year, what have we really seen? We've had 28 so far. What have we really seen that gives you enormous confidence that next year and the year after are onwards and upwards?
Every Saturday morning from 11, the game's biggest names discuss the game's biggest issues. Crunch Time for Australian Property and Business Group. Invest today at apbgroup.com.au and sportsfantasyfree.com. Play now for your chance to win on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy.
Where do I get my outdoor gear?
Hey tradies, the Aussie Disposals end of financial year sale is on now. Get up to 40% off on selected gear, including Yakka workwear, Blundstone and Redback boots, Hi-Vis clothing, Leatherman tools, LED Linzer torches and tons more. It's only the end of financial year, once a year. So make this your big annual shop. Sale also online at aussiedisposals.com.au.
Aussie Disposals, for your outdoor adventure.
In this week's AFL record, Hawthorn great and 11-16 SEN expert commentator Dermot Brereton's a special guest contributor. Dermy reminisces about some of the more romantic times in football and explains why we still need great characters in our game. And Alex Malcolm speaks to Bombers coach John Worsfold about the prospect of returning to Domain Stadium. For more about what's in the AFL record, go to afl.com.au and check out this week's episode of On The Record, which features Dermot as guest host. Grab your AFL record this weekend, still only $5.
Love your footy? Love winning amazing prizes? Play Sports Fantasy Free this season for your chance to grab glory and share in over 40,000 in prizes. It's fun. It's free. It's easy to play. Select your 5 players at sportsfantasyfree.com today. Every game of AFL this season is a new chance to win big. So take your footy experience to the next level and visit sportsfantasyfree.com today. Don't just watch the footy. Win the footy.
It's on today. The Milwaukee M-Day sale at Just Tools South Melbourne. Get the latest cordless tools, accessories, bonuses and giveaways. Plus, the Milwaukee team and Miss Milwaukee will be on site with expert advice and demonstrations. Seriously, today is your last chance to grab some great tax time deals at hot prices. The Milwaukee M-Day sale, today from 10 till 7 at Just Tools. 180 Clarendon Street, South Melbourne. Nobody knows tools like Just Tools. JustTools.com.
There are few sounds Melburnians dread more, but we're working to fix that by removing 50 of Melbourne's most dangerous and congested level crossings. Between the 2nd and the 10th of July, buses will replace trains on sections of the Belgrave and Lilydale lines. The level crossings at Blackburn, Heatherdale and Scoresby Roads will also be closed during this time, with detours in place. So plan ahead and allow extra travel time. Details at levelcrossings.vic.gov.au. Authorised by the Victorian Government, Melbourne. Spoken by VGay.
Feeling snacky? Put down that biscuit. You can do better than that.
But I like it, Bicky.
No, you don't. It's time to man up and feed your wild side. Open a packet of Jackling's Jerky and take yourself to a whole new level of taste.
But I like Bicky.
Stop saying that. Man needs protein to build muscles and to get the blood flowing. Bickies just make your bum look big.
No!
Yes! So man up, drink beer, and eat jerky! Grab Jackling's Jerky from supermarkets and other such places.
On 1116 SEN, afternoons with Andy Marr for the Volvo XC90, Australia's best SUV in its category, and sites and stores. Building small business online.
16 minutes to 2. Phil Malin, our special guest in JYB for Vic Metro Super Rules Footy for Fun. Premierships, there's such a lame question to ask, oh, they must have been a great memory for you, 81, 82. Is there something from either of those games that you particularly look back on with particular clarity or fondness, something that you've taken away from either of those two games?
Oh, I just thought 82, we were, at one stage during the year there, we looked like we weren't even going to make the finals. Mm. I think Sydney had walloped us, and David Parkin wrote us all this letter, individual letter to all of us saying, you're a part of the side, you're a key member, you've got a lift.
It's a different letter for every player.
Yeah, different letter for every player.
And, handwritten or typed?
Handwritten.
Yep.
I'm not one for all that sort of stuff, to be quite honest. I think if you play, you've got to play. You don't need to be motivated. But for some strange reason, from that point on, we just became a different side again, and we ended up making the finals. And Richmond had absolutely belted us in the first final, and then for us to come back, and as I mentioned earlier, for a lot of blokes to be pretty sore, and we kicked I think the first three goals in the first 2 minutes or something of that game.
It was an unbelievable start.
Then there was a massive fight, and then there was the.
Where were you in that?
I was on the outside. I didn't get involved in those. And then there was a streaker, game had everything. And then I kicked a goal, which, that was my first goal in a grand final. So, that's a really fond memory for me. And it was at a time in the third quarter where we got us back in front. And, it was just a fantastic feeling.
I remember you at some stage turning around and giving the two-fingered salute to someone. I can never work out who it was.
Who was it? Well, that was in about the first minute of the game. That was... The ball went forward and I chased after it, and Mark Lee, dirty big Mark Lee, if he'd have hit me, he would have knocked me in the next week. But he stuck the big elbow out and just missed me by an inch.
Yeah.
And I sort of just gave him the...
Cop that.
Yeah, cop that one, yeah.
You missed me.
Yeah, so that was good. It was a good start.
You runner up in the BNF that year, weren't you?
Yeah. I actually only lost by one vote. Jimmy scored two votes. I was one in front. And Jimmy scored two votes in that game to pit me in the BNF. Yeah.
That's something, isn't it? I mean, you win a side that's won its third premiership in 4 years, a super team, like seriously, Richmond and Carlton, there were champions on every line in both of those sides. But to almost win the BNF in a team that was that established and that good, that must be, even though you didn't win it, that must be a great source of pride for you that you were.
It was. I think that year I played midfield. I didn't play on the wing at all.
Ruck Rove that year, didn't you?
Yeah, Ruck Rove the whole year. And I didn't play on the wing until the very last game. Parkin wanted me to play on Wood,
yep.
who had played pretty well during the final series. And, so I think I enjoyed playing on ball. the best. That's where I played sort of all my junior career, and at Woodville I played on ball the whole time. Yeah. And 82 I played on ball, and I felt the most comfortable playing in that position.
What did your footy card say? Utility? Or you would have been one of the last. The utilities died out after that.
You would have been a ruck rover, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think they'd listed me down as a ruck rover.
So, Phil, what happened? But 2 years later, like 84, yeah, I think it was, you're gone from Carlton. What? And you've gone to the Western Bulldogs, or Footscray as it was back then. What happened?
Well, I had both my ankles reconstructed in 83 and started tearing hamstrings. And, you know, I think as a team, we probably dropped a cog, you know. Things probably, not that a lot of blokes will admit it, but, you know, I certainly do, that wasn't as important.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And I can be honest looking back saying that, even though, you know, I tried my best, but, you know, there's best and there's best.
Yep.
And at that point in time, it was pre-season, and I tore my hamstring again, and it was at the point where the salary cap had come in, and Carlton were chasing Reece Jones, David Reece Jones, and...
couple of to go.
Did Wes pull up in the Porsche and say, we're heading over to the Western Oval? We might as well finish it as we started it. Or did you catch the bus over?
No, I was at home one night. It was probably the middle of Feb, late Feb. I was home one night and I got a call from David Parkin. Now, you do not get a call from David Parkin at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night. So I knew he wanted to come over and see me. So... yeah, he came over and just...
like the mafia, isn't it? You go, make it quick. Just make it quick and painless.
Yeah, I knew before he got there what he was coming for. So,
how'd he put it? How did he word it? You've been a great servant to the club.
Well, I can't remember. I can't remember what I did last week, Des. But...
so once he starts talking to you, does the thing, you know what he's saying. Does the thing become a bit of a blur? Are you a bit shattered at the time when he's saying
that? No, funny enough, I wasn't.
Yeah,
I wasn't shattered because, you know, I hadn't played well. I knew I wasn't playing well.
You strike me as a realist. You're not... You weren't living in a fantasy world.
No, definitely not. I was 28, 29 years of age. You know, I knew I was slowing up a bit. I knew everything. You know, my body wasn't as great as what it used to be. So, but I still didn't think I was finished. So the next day, I rang Shane O'Sullivan, and
he was at Footscray at the time.
He was a general manager.
Yep.
And 2 days later, I was signed up at the Dogs.
And what was Mickey like? I mean, Mickey had just started at this stage. You know, we know what he's gone on to achieve as a coach, but he was in his early stages. He was aggressive and bristly and full of all the fire that he had. What did he say to you, and what did he require from you when you first had your chance to meet him?
That was, I think, his second year or first year.
It might have been second, I reckon.
He was sensational.
Yeah.
He was a real man's man.
Yeah.
You know, he told it straight down the line. He didn't ever come to me when I got to the club and said, this is what we need from you. Just, g'day.
Yep.
You know, he knew what I'd done, and, you know, I'd been in a pretty good side and had good values. And so away we went.
Yeah. And there's some super talent at that footy team. I mean, they never went on to achieve, you know, the ultimate that you achieved at Carlton. But, gee, there's some good players in that. I mean, Doug Hawkins, of all the players you played with, Phil, and you played with some superstars at Carlton and obviously some good players back home, pound for pound, you know, where does Dougie sit amongst all the players that you played with against?
Right up there. Yeah. Right up there. And once again, you know, like, I make the comment, if I'd gone to St Kilda, would I have played 100 games, or would I have only played 1 year, or would I have only played 10 games? I'm not sure. If Doug Hawkins had played at Carlton, he would have won 3 Brownlows.
Yeah, it's as simple as that, isn't it?
Yeah, he was a superstar.
Yeah. And the differences between the two clubs, I know we're running out of time, but the differences between the two clubs, was it stark?
Yeah, very, back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we had, you know, our number one ticket holder and sponsor was Richard Pratt. The Doggies had the plumber from Deer Park as a major sponsor.
You had the Blue Bloods, they had the Hyde Street Band.
I remember people always saying, was it John Elliott used to go around and just slip everyone 50 after a win at Carlton to have a drink?
That was a Carltonians.
That was a Carltonians. And at Footscray, they would have asked you for 20 if they could borrow 20.
We've got to get our last break out of the way. This is never going to be enough time. It's 8 minutes to 2. Phil Malan, our special guest in JYB for Vic Metro Super Rules Footy for Fun.
Scott Lucas.
I think as a coach, you can wear
poor execution, but the right decision. But that was just a terrible decision with even poorer execution. It was wrong on all fronts. Why you would take that kick is beyond me. He's done so much good work tonight, but he is prone to a poor decision now. And again, Sam Gilbert.
Scott Lucas, part of the best commentary team in town for Advice Line Injury Lawyers, the experts in injury law. 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy.
For unbelievable Triton deals, head to Mitsubishi's end of financial year sale.
For free auto upgrades worth $2,500 on Triton GLX Plus, 4x4 double cab diesel for under $37,000. And free auto on GLS with 17-inch alloys and sports bar.
So for deals you can't keep to yourself,
head to your local Mitsubishi dealer before June 30.
Excludes government,
rental and
fleet
buyers.
Are you over 35, 45 or even 50? Vic Metro Super Rules is footy for fun, for guys who just can't stop, or for those who just want to give it a go. You don't have to be as good as Jezza. You may have never played before. It doesn't matter. You just need to love the game and want to get off your bum and have some fun. Anyone over 35 can play. Check out the website for your closest club at aflvm.com.au.
Where do I get my outdoor gear?
Hey tradies, the Aussie Disposals end of financial year sale is on now. Get up to 40% off on selected gear, including Yakka workwear, Blundstone and Redback boots, Hi-Vis clothing, Leatherman tools, LED Linzer torches and tons more. It's only the end of financial year, once a year. So make this your big annual shop. Sale also online at aussiedisposals.com.au.
Aussie Disposals, for your outdoor adventure.
The countdown is on. Harvey Norman half yearly clearance open till midnight Thursday. One day only. Last chance for tax time deals with 60 months interest free store wide. No deposit, no interest with 60 equal monthly payments until June 2021. Approved applicants only. Minimum financed amount $500. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. But hurry. The countdown is on at Harvey Norman. Open till midnight Thursday. Do not miss out. Trading hours may vary. Check store for details.
Go!
In this week's SEN Inside Football, while the top eight settle in for the run to September and the bottom handful joust for draft positioning, our experts run through what to expect from teams in Middle Earth. In the spirit of Wimbledon, we reveal why GWS, who came into the season unseeded, has a shot at serving up a slice of history. Wayne Johnston racked up four premierships in a stellar 209-game career for Carlton. Former teammate David Rees-Jones catches up with the Dominator. SEN Inside Football, on sale at your newsagent, 7-Eleven stores, major supermarkets and SEN.com.
Gotta love it when your favourite things don't change. At Liquorland, we have the same low prices on over 40 of our favourite drinks every day. Like Dirt's Marlboro Cuvée Brut non-vintage at a low $19 every day. Gotta love low prices at Liquorland.
The man who looks immaculate in his new jacket obviously knew where to shop because he's a Sire's man. Sire's Menswear. 8 Melbourne stores including Moorabbin, Forest Hill, Fountain Gate and the City.
TGI Fridays is world famous for food, drinks, sports and fun. Right now, TGI Fridays are celebrating 20 years in Australia. Come wish us a happy birthday and get 2-for-1 on our famous burgers, ribs and steaks when you buy a drink. Our 2-for-1 birthday celebrations are at your favorite TGI Fridays for a limited time only. Terms and conditions do apply. Book now and come party as we celebrate 20 years in Australia. TGI Fridays, your home for sports.
The Peter Jackson VFL, this Saturday and Sunday live on Channel 7. Head to vfl.com.au for the full list of upcoming broadcast games, results and news, or follow us on Twitter at VFL. The Peter Jackson VFL, this Saturday and Sunday live and exclusive on Channel 7.
On 1116 SEN, afternoons with Andy Marr for the Volvo XC90, Australia's best SUV in its category and sites and stores. Doing SEO and social from $25 per week.
Make sure, it says off the text message, Des, make sure you ask him about match committee every Monday at the Crown Casino with the Dogs. When you're chairman of selectors down there, is that where you had the match committee, was it? I won't say who sent that text message.
Well, I've got a fair idea who sent it. Preface that by saying we did start work at 6 o'clock in the morning on Mondays.
Right. That's so early to be getting to the casino.
No, we used to train the boys up and we sort of had a little bit of a match committee at the club and then we'd wander off to the Crown because the bloke that sent that message had one of those crown cards back in those days.
Did he really? Right.
Which gave his carte blanche to any restaurant or any bar in the whole Crown. So obviously we took advantage of that
right.
for about 6 or 7 hours yeah. on a Monday.
Of course, of course you did. You were going to ask him about this
cab
other
home,
thing.
Cab home, too, by
yeah,
the way.
My word. You're going to ask him about the...
Virtually Forgotten Legends.
Oh, this
you started
is
your
thing,
own...
Yeah.
It was a precursor to JYB, basically. It was just ex-AFL football, VFL footballers. Virtually Forgotten Legends.
Yeah, it was started by Peter McConville, Alex, Mark Ewell, and myself. It was just... We just wanted, you know, blokes who were in their own business. You know, the criteria was you had to be in your own business and you had to have played VFL. So we sort of sent out these emails to, you know, Dennis Banks and all these other blokes. Would they like to be in a club where we meet once a month, bring along guests, get guest speakers.
Network a bit
and, you know.
Raise some money for charity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how it started. So there was only 20 of us were members of the club and we'd each bring 10 guests along and we'd, you know, go to different venues and, you know, of course we'd get some good guest speakers. We had Teddy Whitten one day and then blokes of that ilk would speak to us. And then it sort of grew and grew and grew to what it is today, which is, you know, we have a pre-grand final luncheon and we get like 2,000 people to the luncheon. It's just unbelievable. It's fantastic.
Phil, we've got a minute to go. We're going to scratch the surface here. The premiership at Springvale, of all the things you did in footy, how highly does that, in terms of the pride that you take out of things you've been part of, where does that sit for you?
Oh, about an inch below the AFL ones.
It meant a lot to that footy club, didn't it?
Yeah, it was their first ever.
Yeah.
They were on the brink of getting demoted to second division. They'd finished second bottom in first division the year before. I think you had Emmett Dunn on.
Yeah, we did a few weeks ago.
Emmett,
yeah.
We recruited Emmett and myself came to the club and Paddy Foy.
Yep, yep.
Paddy Foy's the one that got, you know, when that Berkey
got... Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Paddy Foy's the one he pushed over first up. That's his claim to fame, old Paddy. But he was a really good player for us and we went from second bottom to winning the premiership.
Oh, Phil Mailer, it's been a joy to spend an hour with you. Dez, you're doing well, my friend.
No, well, I'm going to chase up some of your contacts through the VFL. We'll get out to a few other clubs.
Thanks for coming in.
No
it's
worries.
Been a joy
Thanks
to spend some time with you. Phil Mailer, what a super player he was. Good on you, Dez. It's time.